Welcome to the September issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. In this month's issue, we bring you six research papers ranging across a broad field. Representing the extraordinary diversity that exists in audio engineering, we find papers covering sound synthesis, spatial audio, measurement, ultrasonics, noise regulations, and speech communication in vehicles. Andreas Frank and Vesa Valjamecki kick off with a paper that shows a way of reducing aliasing artifacts when pitch-shifting stored samples in wavetable and sampling synthesis. They do this by integrating the waveform many times before storing it, then using sample rate conversion followed by differentiation on replay. There's only a minor increase in computational cost, and the use of higher-order filtering improves the results more than first-order techniques. Staying in Finland, we hear from Juha Vilkamo and Ville Poki about a way of improving the Dirac spatial audio system. Using a covariance domain rendering method, they were able to minimize the amount of decorrelated sound energy, which apparently improved the overall sound quality, particularly with signals like applause and speech. From Finland, we move to a Japanese research paper that considers how to achieve a constant signal-to-noise ratio with frequency when making impulse response measurements. As pointed out by Hirokazu Uchiai and Yutaka Kaneda, pulse-based measurements tend to have low signal-to-noise ratio, so it's proposed to use a modified form of swept sign measurement where the spectrum of the measurement signal is adapted to the background noise spectrum and the estimated system transfer function. It's suggested that the approach can be useful in reverberation time measurements, for example. Tobias Merkel and his colleagues explain a novel approach to the creation of a virtual microphone using ultrasonic sound and the nonlinear properties of air. In effect, this is the microphone equivalent of the ultrasonic narrow-beam loudspeaker. It's shown that an ultrasonic pump wave can mix with baseband audio sounds, creating sidebands around the ultrasonic carrier, which can be demodulated at the receiver. Results were promising, although considerable work is required to create a system with high quality. Robert Gent calls workplace noise regulations in the music industry a square peg in a round hole, attempting to motivate a dialogue among audio professionals about how hearing can be conserved and regulations more usefully enforced. Gent suggests that occupational noise regulations in the U.S. are hard to apply in the entertainment industry, whereas in the EU and UK, there has been a greater partnership with stakeholders to develop and implement effective legislation. Successful speech communication in vehicles is important, says Nikolina Samardzik and Colin Novak, because it facilitates social interactions as well as the delivery of navigation and safety information. It's also an issue that noise in vehicles proves problematic for older individuals who have hearing difficulties. Unlike previous studies, theirs used participants that included hearing-impaired individuals. They found that the speech intelligibility index at the sentence speech reception threshold depended on the background noise spectra resulting from different vehicle operating conditions, and it's proposed that the results can be used to improve vehicle acoustics. The quest for low power consumption with high output power and audio quality continues to drive the class struggle in audio amplifier design, says Francis Rumsey in this month's feature article. The introduction of silicon carbide transistors is one important development in this field, he explains, helping to reduce distortions and losses in switching amplifiers. New testing methods challenge conventional wisdom about how best to predict the perceptual effects of amplifier distortion. September's journal sees the publication of information about the Society's new officers for the coming year, including the newly found president-elect and a number of incoming vice presidents and governors. We also publish a revised set of AES bylaws this month, including some modifications approved recently. Two important conferences are coming up in the middle of next year, for which calls are published here. The 54th conference will take place in London in June on the topic of audio forensics. Mark Huckvale and Jeff Smith chair this seminal event for professionals working in the field, carrying on a well-established series of conferences run by the AES. In August, the 55th conference sees the Finns once again tackling the topic of spatial audio, chaired by Lori Savoia. If you're working or studying in either of these fields, Now's the time to get your thinking hat on and propose a contribution so that you can join your international colleagues and keep up with the latest developments. All this, as well as our regular product and section news, can be found in the September issue of the AES Journal at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.